All right, so a little bit more on filing requirements. If you have to register in a state, there's an initial registration process where a lot more information typically has to be filed, including organizational documents for charitable organizations, certificate of incorporation, bylaws. A few states, by the way, do make many of these documents available online. And so I just wanted to share that some of these state charity databases are actually quite rich with information and even more information than you can get off of the IRS website. So I'll just name New York, California, and North Carolina as example states that have very rich online publicly available databases of information. So charities, as they're registering, also need to file copies of their Form 990. Depending on their gross annual revenues, they may have to file audited financial statements as well. And as part of the process of registering each year, they're disclosing who are their fundraisers in that state and may have to file copies of those contracts. I'm going to pass it back to Dan to talk about some of the different types of fundraisers.
Sure. And I'm going to go off script here for just a second and say, you know, a lot of what we're saying here, and when you get into this space, it's a little overwhelming. They want so much information to get you set up. But this really is not, it's not an adversarial process. The folks that we work with, and so from the registration process on through, it's that having worked in a few different areas of law, I've always been very, it's been nice to work with state regulators in this space because they're often really helpful. But now we're going to turn to some of the other categories that we were talking about before. The first of those are the folks that we refer to as professional fundraisers. And these are individuals or companies who, for compensation, we're talking about the pros, directly or indirectly solicit contributions from any person on behalf of a charitable organization. So remember, again, each state is different. Some call them professional solicitors, some call them commercial fundraisers for charitable purposes, but most states do regulate this category of service providers. And the key here is that these are the folks who are getting paid to go out to the public, whether their target is individual donors, for-profit companies, to ask for contributions. And so we're not talking about volunteers here. Again, we're talking about the pros. And the asks that they make can really be made through any medium, including calling you on the phone, approaching you on the street, or even using more modern channels of communication online, social media, etc. What sets professional fundraisers apart from fundraising counsel, who we'll talk about next, is first and foremost that PFRs are the ones on the front lines who are actually making the ask. In addition, under most state laws, a defining feature of professional fundraisers is that they are permitted, under certain contractual controls, to take possession of the funds that they solicit before passing them along to the charity. And also, unlike fundraising counsel, state law generally permits professional fundraisers to charge a fee based on the percentage of funds that they actually successfully bring in. In fact, some states go so far as to reclassify fundraising counsel as PFRs due to the existence of a percentage-based compensation scheme or the fact that the service provider is taking control of the charitable assets for some period of time before passing them on. To be clear, most fundraisers these days do not take control of charitable assets. With all the payment technology available, it's much more common to see professional fundraisers, you know, hand somebody an iPad or enter their information into the charity's own online donation platform than collecting checks directly. And similarly, while states often permit percentage-based compensation schemes, it is worth noting that the Association of Fundraising Professionals, the AFP, has a set of best practices that specifically advise against the use of percentage-based fee schemes. We don't have a ton of time to really go into the basis for their position, but suffice it to say that an arrangement where the fundraiser gets more if he or she is able to push the donor to give a little more can lead to some abuses. So overall, the main feature here that really distinguishes fundraising an FRP from others in this space is that they're the ones who are making the appeal, It's a highly regulated area. I think you might have mentioned this already, that 43 states require professional fundraisers to register, including annual renewals. And they are often required to post surety bonds, file their engagement contracts with the state, and publicly report out on the financial outcome of each contract that they file. 15 states even require individuals employed by firms that do professional fundraising to register in their individual capacity. So in contrast, the category of individuals and companies who are considered fundraising counsel is actually really wide. It's widely diverse, and for good reason. This category includes professionals who, again, for compensation, are helping to plan, manage, advise, or assist with charitable solicitations without actually being the one to solicit the funds. They don't solicit directly. As we talked about a second ago, they do not hold custody of funds. They're not paid based on how much money they bring in. And these are not your charity employees. These are not volunteers. Again, we're talking about the pros. That's the last time I'm going to say that phrase. I realize I've focused on it a lot. Now that we kind of know what they don't do, what do these folks do? It's a really broad definition, if you think about it. And that's how the states think about it, too. Fundraising council services can include designing and managing a direct mail campaign, organizing and managing a fundraising gala, developing a major gift strategy, or designing a digital fundraising strategy, coaching for professional fundraisers, or for particular fundraising campaigns. It is a really broad group of service providers that can fall into this category. And while it's not quite as many as for professional fundraisers, there are still 28 states that have registration requirements for fundraising council.